Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And on behalf of all of our staff, for Kim and Coleman, for Vivian and Greg, for Stephen and Michelle, and for both of us Bobs, we all welcome you to Christmas Eve at Basic Gospel. Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, it's often been said that Easter, which of course we celebrate on a Sunday between March 22nd and April 25th, is the most important observance in all of Christianity. And I certainly would not want to argue with that premise. But it's also true that if it were not for Christmas, we wouldn't have Easter. So today, our broadcast is all about the Christmas story and the joy that entered the world at the human birth of Jesus Christ. So welcome to Christmas Eve at Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Well, this is a special Christmas Eve broadcast of Basic Gospel, and something that I do every year at Christmas, read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. Today, I want to take a look at how Matthew recorded the Christmas story, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 25 of chapter 1. So this is kind of the story through the lens of Joseph, through his perspective, through his eyes. So in verse 18, we read this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So we know the story. The angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a child. The child is going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she responded, how can this be? And God said with him, all things are possible. And that's exactly what took place. This child in Mary's womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph and Mary were betrothed to be married. They were engaged to be married. And this information came to Joseph that Mary was now pregnant and that Joseph was not the biological father. Right. So there was all kinds of consternation in Joseph's mind as to what to do, how to handle this particular situation. It says in verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So what was his solution to this problem that he thought that he had? His solution was to divorce Mary quietly, to break the engagement, in other words. Now, that would help Mary as far as her reputation was concerned in the community, and Joseph could just go about his life in a different direction. But that's not how God wanted it to be. And so God does something miraculous to convince Joseph that he was a part of God's plan. Now, in verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. So Joseph falls asleep. He has a dream. In this dream, the angel of the Lord appears to him. Now, that's a scary thought, yeah, that an angel would appear to you in a dream. But that's what happened as far as Joseph was concerned. And the angel says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Now, this is important. Joseph, son of David. Joseph was part of the lineage of David. Mm-hmm. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and then Joseph. That's how it flows down. So yeah, Joseph was going to be the legal guardian of Jesus, not the biological father. And the fact that he was the legal guardian would qualify Jesus as the rightful heir to the throne of David. Mm-hmm. Now, we have prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about that someone was going to sit on the throne of David forever. Well, that someone is Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
So Joseph is of the proper lineage, of the proper bloodline, and his legal guardianship would qualify Jesus to be the one who could sit upon the throne, mm-hmm, of David.
Right.
So For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So what the angel is telling Joseph is this is a plan of God that is moving forward. And basically he's going to challenge Joseph to say, you can either be a part of the plan of God or you can move on and do your own thing. Mm-hmm. I want you to be a part of this plan. I want you to be there with Mary when this child is born. I want you to raise this child. I want you to be the father, the humanly father to this child. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing in this miraculous situation. So he says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yeah. So we ask the question, and this is an important question, something that we see out there in the public square very often, this question: what is in a name? And I think it's very appropriate to ask that here. What's in a name? As far as Jesus, everything. And the name Jesus simply means that he is going to save his people from their sins. So it identifies Jesus as the Savior. So concerning the name Jesus, it identifies his mission in this world. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he says you're going to name him Jesus, and then he gives this prophecy, which comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It's also repeated, or God is called Emmanuel a couple of other times in Isaiah's prophecy. But this comes direct from that. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And you think, wait a minute, you just said, as far as Joseph is concerned, that when Mary bears the son, you shall call his name Jesus.
Right.
So which is it? Yeah. Is it Emmanuel or is it Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, this phrase Emmanuel is not so much a name as it is a description of who he is. So Jesus is a name that reflects his mission. Emmanuel is a name that reflects his character, his essence, his nature. And the name means God with us. So when Jesus is born into this world, he is God with us. So we see this in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God became a man, and that's something important for us to know. This isn't just a guy that came into this world in the ordinary biological way. Right. This was a person God sent from heaven. He came to us from above, and he came to us to do something for us, and that was to save us from our sins. Now, also, he is God with us. So he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph, at the beginning of this story, he is about to check out of the story. He is about to say, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to break our engagement. I am going to walk away quietly. I am going to help save your reputation in the community, but I'm moving on.
Yeah.
It's time for me to move on. You're in this situation, and you're going to have to figure it out from here. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, he was a reluctant person. At the end, he's a willing participant.
Right.
And I think that's the case for all of us, isn't it, Bob? I mean, we hear the gospel story. We hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And for many of us, there's all kinds of objections that we raise in our minds if we in making the decision to believe the good news of Jesus Christ. We've heard time and time again, and, you know, what if God sends me out on the mission field?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to go to the remote parts of this world. So I'm going to be a little reluctant to accept, to receive the message concerning Christ.
Yeah, that's especially true when you're about 10 years old in Sunday school.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I don't want to go to the mission field. I don't want to do something crazy. And then there's this other idea that we wrestle with. What are other people going to think about me?
Yeah.
And that's a huge, huge human consideration. We're worried about what people are going to think. That's why Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians about either pleasing people or pleasing God. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do both. So we're very prone to be people pleasers. We like it when people think highly of us. We don't like it when they think low of us.
Sure.
We don't like that at all. And so we have this fear built into us about people. What are people going to think? Are they going to label me as a Jesus freak? Are they going to label me as a religious nutcase?
Yeah.
Are they going to label me as a crazy Christian? And certainly that's a legitimate fear, and that's something that causes reluctance inside of us. Bob, I know we've talked to believers in Christ who came out of Muslim backgrounds or
right.
Jewish backgrounds, and their decision to accept Jesus Christ meant being ostracized by their families.
Right.
I mean, real separation, real estrangement from their families, because their families have chosen to turn their backs on this person because of their belief in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things that would make us reluctant and would say, hey, I'm not sure I want to go forward with this.
Yeah.
But I think the grace of God, the love of God that is communicated to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I mean, when we see that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, that love starts to melt away those fears.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
in that demonstration of love, we hear these words, fear not. Do not fear to move forward with Christ Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your very life.
Yeah.
And so we, like Joseph, sometimes we're reluctant, but when the gospel hits our hearts, we become willing participants, and we say, Lord Jesus, I receive. Lord Jesus, I'm confessing with your mouth that you are Lord. I'm believing in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I am yours.
Right.
That's what we say to the Lord, and we're saved. We call upon the name of the Lord. We become willing participants in God's plan for our lives, as far as salvation by grace through faith in him, and God's plan for our lives as far as our purpose and place in this world today.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened to Joseph. He became a willing participant. He took Mary as his wife. He did not know her in the sexual way until after the birth of Jesus. And as we've said, this virgin birth is not up for grabs. It is not something that we can, just kind of gloss over and say, hey, that's not really important to the story.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it is important to the story. The fact that he was born of a virgin means he comes into this world perfect, innocent, and fully human in every way. If Joseph had been the biological father, he would have passed sin on to Jesus, just like our parents passed sin and death on to us. We come into this world under the condemnation of God, dead in trespasses and sins, but not Jesus. He came into this world fully alive, perfect, innocent. And that's important. So the virgin birth is not up for grabs.
No, not at all.
So that's not up for theological debate. So as Jesus, as Mary gives birth to Jesus, Joseph does exactly what the angel had said for him to do. He called his name Jesus. So what's in a name? Well, in the name of Jesus, we see his mission. He's come to save us from our sins. In the name Emmanuel, he is God with us. Now, let's take a look at what that really means to us practically. When you and I believe the gospel, when we believe the story concerning Jesus Christ, and that story is the fact that he died for our sins in accordance with scriptures, that story includes his burial, the fact that Joseph of Arimathea took his body off of that Roman cross and laid the body in a tomb, a new tomb in a garden. That's a part of the story. And then 3 days later, Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, resurrected.
Right.
He was alive and is alive. And then 40 days later, he ascended into heaven to take up his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. That's the story. Mm-hmm. When we believe that story, when we receive that story as the truth, then it says we are cleansed, we are forgiven. That forgiveness that Christ provided at the cross becomes ours. We're made alive together with Christ, raised to walk in the newness of life. We're made holy and blameless and perfect through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, all for one purpose, so that Christ could come and live inside of us.
Yeah.
One of the great themes that you see throughout the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is God wanting to find a home for himself here on planet Earth.
Uh-huh.
Originally, that was the Garden of Eden. So God hung out in the Garden of Eden
yeah.
with Adam and Eve,
seemed
and they had fellowship one with another.
Seemed like a nice place to hang out.
A very nice place for them to hang out. Well, sin kind of entered into the picture, and that disrupted that relationship that man had with God. And now in Christ Jesus, that's restored. And God has found a new home here on planet Earth. Now, up until this point, we see some pictures. We see some shadows of what God was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see God instructing Moses to build a tabernacle. So Moses went up to on top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, and we kind of think of that story in terms of the Ten Commandments
right.
and the Mosaic Covenant that God established with the people of Israel. And certainly that is a significant piece of that story. But not only did God provide those commandments and that covenant, he gave to Moses a blueprint for a tabernacle that Moses was to build. And so throughout the book of Exodus, as they're hunkered down around Mount Sinai, Moses is busy gathering all of the materials that are necessary for the building of this tabernacle. And at the end of Exodus, it doesn't end with the note of the law. It ends with God's glory, God's presence filling the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
So it was completed. Moses erected it. He dedicated it. And in that dedication, the glory of God filled that tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. We move forward. David is now the king, and he wants to build a permanent location for the dwelling place of God. And so he has this vision to build a temple. Now, David was unable to build it. That fell to his son Solomon.
Yeah.
But Solomon built the temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That was torn down, then rebuilt, and then it was torn down in 70 AD by the Roman armies.
Titus.
And, yeah, we haven't seen a temple in Jerusalem since. And there's a reason for that, I think. And the reason is that God has established a new temple, a new dwelling place for him to live. And that's you and that's me. So when we come to Christ individually, the shed blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, forgives, makes us holy, perfects us. Through the resurrection, we're made alive together with Christ, all for the sake of Christ coming to live inside of us. So individually, our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then corporately, as a body of Christ, we are the temple of the living God, the dwelling place of the living God. He is with us. So Paul said it this way in his book, in his letter to the Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
So every day we wake up, we have a Savior who saved us from our sins, who now abides in us, dwells in us. He is making himself comfortable inside of us, and we become comfortable with him. And we realize that every day that we wake up here on planet Earth, we're waking up not alone, not in isolation, but attached in union with God's Spirit, one with him. Mm-hmm. So we go through life together. I don't go through life by myself. I go through life with Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus goes through my life with me. Emmanuel, God with us. So we see in this story, as related by Matthew through the perspective of Joseph, we see some very important things about Jesus. His name indicates his mission, Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. The name Emmanuel indicates his nature, his essence, and the fact that he, when he comes to live inside of us, it is God himself coming to take up residence in you.
Yeah.
That is the good news of the gospel. You are the dwelling place of God here on planet Earth. You are where heaven and earth meet in Jesus.
Yeah.
Talk about mind-blowing. Yeah. That is absolutely mind-blowing. Well, that's the story of Christmas. It's a story that God wants to deliver to us to absolutely blow our minds so that we can see the possibilities of going through life with God as a reality.
Yeah.
And in Christ, that indeed has become a reality for all of us.
Absolutely. Bob, what a story.
It's an amazing story.
It truly, truly is. You know, friends, Christmas time every year is a time of giving. And Andrew, talk to us a little bit about the joy that becomes evident when listeners give so that others might hear. What do you see in that?
Yeah, well, I would say this is the most important time in our ministry. Here we are with 30 days in December upcoming, and as we've already been announcing, there's a lot of new and exciting things for January. Maybe you could say like never before. I mean, we're talking about doubling our radio impact. We're talking about a new studio in the DFW area. We're talking about a new ability to produce videos that will encourage people in the grace of God. Like never before. We've got a new opportunity to be on Right Now Media, which is in so many churches, thousands of churches across the world subscribe to Right Now Media. We're going to be able to produce those videos in our studio. We're looking at new home groups and being able to create a network for that. We're talking about planting a new congregation in the Dallas area along with satellite locations. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I mean, next year is exciting.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Andrew. It is exciting. And friends, you have a part in it when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for Christmas Eve, everybody. Now for Andrew and Bob and all the staff, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you and your family a most joyous Merry Christmas, everybody.